morning. Welcome to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. We have got an action-packed, filled, chock-filled with lots of stuff show for you today. So let's kick it off with prayer. Boy, we are going to be really busy today. Let's say St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. I am Gary Zimek, and as I said, we have got a busy show for you today. Coming up shortly, Dr. John Bergsman will be here to continue his series on Bible Basics for Catholics. We'll also be joined by our friend Dr. Gregory Popchak, who will continue his series on his new book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. And right now, we had some technical difficulties yesterday when we tried to connect with our friend Jeanette Benkovic, but we have her on the line today to talk about some good news, the fact that she is coming to the Malvern Retreat House on July the 7th. We're going to talk about that retreat. Good morning, Jeanette. How are you today?
Hey, Gary. Good morning. It's great to be with you and all of our listeners this morning on this beautiful day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Amen. It's great to have you. Okay, Jeanette, over the weekend, we were live at the Malvern Retreat House. We were doing some broadcasting, and everybody is really excited because you are headed to the Delaware Valley. Your annual retreat kicks off on July the 7th, and I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what we can expect this year.
Well, I'm very excited about coming back to Malvern. You know, I'll tell you, Gary, we have been there for many, many years now. Mm-hmm. I think we're coming up on our 12th year at Malvern Retreat House, and it's always been a joy and a pleasure to be there, to be with people in the Delaware Valley and people that come in from all around the United States and sometimes outside of the United States to join us for these days. And we have two events, really, that are back-to-back. Lots of the ladies come and stay for both events. Okay. Many come for one or the other. But on July the 6th, we're beginning with our Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women, and that's going to run through the 6th and the middle of the day on the 7th, actually probably up until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 7th. And we're going to be talking about Joan of Arc and why she is the icon for Catholic women leaders here in the 21st century. We've got a marvelous presenter coming. She actually is a professor of philosophy, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Siobhan Nash Marshall about all of that. She's going to be talking with us about it, which is even more important. Yeah. So we're looking forward to having her with us for that beautiful, beautiful event. I want to invite any woman who thinks it would be a great idea to learn more about what it means to be a Catholic woman leader and why Joan of Arc is such a marvelous icon for us, a model for us to follow, to join us for this Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar that's taking place on July the 6th through the 7th. And then our retreat begins on the 7th, and it runs through the 9th. And again, I'm excited because we have beautiful people that are going to be presenting. Dr. Nash Marshall is going to stay with us, and Father Wade Menezes. Many, I'm sure, of your listeners are familiar with Father Wade and the good work that he does on EWTN. He's a frequent guest of mine on Women of Grace Television. He's going to be with us, and we're also going to have Thomas K. Sullivan, Susan Brinkman, myself, and all of the beautiful people who come to join us for this glorious event. And Dr. Nash Marshall will be staying on, as I mentioned, too. So it's going to be a beautiful opportunity to talk about our Blessed Mother and the triumph of her Immaculate Heart and how that battle is going to be won. How is it that her heart is going to triumph in this our day and time? And why it is important for us to know that and to be part of this great, great work of the Holy Spirit that I believe is taking place right now in a bunch of different ways.
And, Jeanette, let's talk about that a little bit. I mentioned yesterday on the show, trying to inform our listeners about this retreat, the fact that the title is Our Lady of Fatima and the Triumph, how the battle will be won. I know you, Jeanette, you're somebody who is driven by the Holy Spirit, and you're a very optimistic person. This title implies victory. This battle will be won. Let's talk a little bit about that and get everyone fired up for this retreat.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'll tell you, Gary, when we think about battles, we don't often put our Blessed Lady in the same sentence with battles.
Right.
But we remember that in the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15, basically the summation of the entire gospel in one verse, and that's the one, it tells us that God prophesies, and he says to the serpent, I will put enmities between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. Now, enmities, if we look it up and note it's in the plural, means battle. It means war. So right there, you know, we learn at the dawn of civilization that there is a battle and that our Blessed Lady is a major player in this battle. But the beautiful reality is that we know that through her seed, her son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the battle has already been won.
Mm.
In every day and time, though, we experience aspects of that battle that are unique to that moment in history. And so in this particular moment in history, when we see all kinds of things taking place around us that are so upsetting, things both domestically here, things internationally, we might even experience the battle raging in our own families, sometimes within our own hearts, sometimes within, you know, our own circumstances. The question is, how do we engage this, and how is it that our Blessed Lady, in union with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, through the merits of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, gives us the victory? The victory is there, Gary.
Mm.
We just have to know how to reach out, take that truth, that reality, that victory, and apply it to the moment that we're in. And those are some of the things that we're going to be learning about, some of the things that we'll be talking about, some of the things that we'll be mining, the treasures of which we can then take and wield this mighty weapon of faith, hope, and love in union with our Blessed Mother and her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and win the battle through the merits of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And her triumph, in a global sense, I believe, is also coming. Day and time, we don't know, but we're going to talk about how it is that we can recognize it and be part of it.
And I like the way you phrase that, Jeanette, because even though the battle has been won, we can be confident there. And I think that in and of itself is a positive message. We need to hear something positive because it's very easy to become pessimistic with the state of the world now. So we have that positive message, but the implication is also there that we need to do something. We can't just sit back and let Our Lady go to battle for us and win this battle. We've got to do something, and that's where this retreat can help, to inspire women to get ready to participate in winning this battle. Is that correct?
Well, I think that you're right, Gary, and I'll tell you what. I'm glad that you specified women there, because we, as the daughters of the Most High God, have a significant role to play. I really do believe that this is the age or the time for women, rightly understood, and I always tack those last two words on, because we know that there are messages out there that I think are part of the problem as opposed to part of the solution, that would have women moving off into directions that are very anti the reality of who she is. But when we, as the daughters of the Most High God, have this deepening understanding of the great charism that is ours by virtue of our gender, not in spite of it, but by virtue of it, and we begin, again, I think, under the beautiful tutelage and instruction of our Blessed Lady, through her example, but I think even in a more tangible, maybe experiential way, through her maternal beatitude, intercession, and action in our lives, then we begin to realize that the gifts of our gender and us in union with it can do so very much, as it says in the closing message to women from the Second Vatican Council, to aid humanity and not falling. And I do believe, you know, and I might be so bold to say, my opinion here, I do believe that part of the battle that we've seen raging from the dawn of civilization and in a very exacerbated way today is the attack of the evil one against woman, against her essential nature, against who she's called to be, and how it is that she can be that force for good, that beautiful icon of the feminine principle in all creation. And I know that all sounds very lofty, but that's some of what we'll be exploring. And we do want everyone to come. It's going to be a beautiful opportunity to be with so many wonderful daughters of God, to join together, break away from the hustle bustle of our daily lives, and come together for what I consider to be a transforming and life-changing weekend.
And I'm sure it will be. And I want to encourage all of my sisters in Christ out there to get on board with this and to go to malvernretreat.com and to sign up for these great events. Jeanette, just to make sure I understand this, now these are two separate events, is that correct?
Yes, uh-huh. We always have a Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar that precedes the retreat itself. And as I say, lots of ladies come for both of those.
Right, okay.
And so, Gary, the Enrichment Seminar begins on July the 6th.
Right.
It runs through Friday, usually around 3 o'clock or so we break. Sometimes it's a little more towards 4. And then we get ready for the treat that begins that evening, mm-hmm. July the 7th, and runs through the 9th. And I know that the retreat is filling up.
Yes,
we don't
is.
Want anybody to miss out.
That's right.
I love to get as many women there as we possibly can. We usually pack the house, and we're looking forward to doing that again this time.
Yeah, and Jeanette, I do want to confirm that. I was chatting with Mark Poletino, the president of the Malvern Retreat House, over the weekend, and yes, it is filling up. So I want to say, you at home listening, my sisters in Christ again, I'm challenging you, let's do this. Let's go to malvernretreat.com and sign up for this fantastic retreat. I know, Jeanette, and Jeanette, you're going to bring it. You always do, because you're, right? Because the Holy Spirit works through you so well.
Well, so, thank you.
I'm excited. And listen, I know you're very busy. I want to thank you for making the time for us this morning. It is wonderful to talk to you again, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's always good to talk with you, Gary, and looking forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Jeanette Bankovic, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, malvernretreat.com is the place to go to sign up for this wonderful Women of Grace retreat. Boy, what a way to start
wow.
the show. Dave Parker.
That'll get your attention.
Dave Parker, good morning.
I
didn't even get a chance to say good morning.
Well, that's all right, Gary. I mean, I loved Jeanette.
She's awesome. She is on fire. She is someone who really lets the Holy Spirit work through her, and
Absolutely. She's
phenomenal. So mm-hmm. if you're listening at home and you're a woman, I mean, this is a retreat for women, and you're considering it, make it a point to do that today. MalvernRetreat.com. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get shut
not
out.
Not too
for
late,
this.
Folks.
No, it is not
women,
too late.
Women, folks. Okay.
It is not too late for this. Now, in coming up in a few minutes, we are going to go to our friend, Dr. John Bergsma, who will be continuing his series on Bible Basics for Catholics. Today we're going to talk about the covenant with Noah. And then later on in the show, Dr. Gregory Popchak will be here to talk about the Beatitudes. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for June 13th. Today we celebrate Saint Anthony of Padua. Anthony longed to be one of those closest to Jesus by dying for the faith. From his home in Portugal, he entered the Franciscan order and set out to preach to the Moors in Spain. However, an illness prevented Anthony from achieving his goal, so he sailed instead to Italy, where he was stationed in a small hermitage. There he spent most of his time praying, reading the scriptures, and doing humble tasks. At an ordination, where no one was prepared to speak, the humble and obedient Anthony hesitantly accepted the task. Anthony's sermon was astounding to those who expected something rough and unprepared. He became recognized as a great man of prayer, as well as a great scripture and theology scholar. After leading the friars in northern Italy for 3 years, Anthony made his home in Padua, where he died in 1231. Popular devotion has nominated Anthony as finder of lost objects, but he also could be the patron of those who find their lives completely uprooted and set in new and unexpected directions. He is a perfect example of turning one's life completely over to Christ. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit, spirit, spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was The Light in Me by Brandon Heath. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. Over the past several months, we've been talking with our friend Dr. John Bergsma about his book, Bible Basics for Catholics. Dr. John Bergsma is an associate professor of theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's also a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. His book, of course, he has several books. One of them, the one we've been discussing, is Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. Dr. Bergsma joins us again today. Today we are going to pick up, we're going to be discussing the period of time from Adam to Noah, the covenant with Noah, and today's story all begins with the appearance of a snake. Mm-hmm. And in the Old Testament, snakes are generally not a good thing. Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, Gary, good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. So we're going to be starting off our discussion with the snake showing up in Genesis 3.
Yes, you know, and as you said, snakes are never a good thing. not in the Bible, not in other ancient literature. Generally a symbol of evil, and in this case, we know it's, in hindsight, it's the embodiment of Satan.
Yeah, and we're very familiar with the story of with what's happening with the snake when he appears in Genesis chapter 3. But what is the basic message that the snake has?
The basic message is distrust of God.
Wow.
You know, has God really said? And that gets Adam and Eve to start doubting, and that's how Satan works on all of our hearts, to get us to doubt God's word.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, we can believe that message, right?
And absolutely, and that's how Satan gets power over us. You know, we have the power over him by the fact that we're filled with the Holy Spirit through the sacraments, but he gets power over us when he gets us to believe his word rather than God's word.
So the snake appears, convinces Adam and Eve that God is not reliable, that he's got some sort of an ulterior motive, and they fall for it. What happens then?
They absolutely do. Well, the issue there is, you know, if they're not going to trust God as their father, then they can't stay in the family home. And so that's why we have the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. God places that guardian cherub to prevent them from getting back in. He placed it on the east side. That's because there only was one entrance to Eden. Eden was a temple, and in the ancient times, you know, temples only had one entrance. It faced east toward the rising sun. So he places that that cherub there to keep them from coming back in. Mm-hmm. And that's our sad, you know, alienation from God as our Father.
If you could, Dr. Bergsma, can you talk a little bit about the fact that when God tracked down Adam and Eve because they tried to hide, which a lot of times I think we do the same thing, we sin and we try to hide from God, he tracks them down, and Adam accepts no responsibility. I find this fascinating. It's everybody else's fault. It's not his fault.
Right.
Right?
You get this. Yeah, yeah. God starts with questioning Adam. And Adam's response is classic. He says, well, you know, the woman whom you gave me.
Yeah.
So she gave me to eat. So right there, you know, it's the woman's fault. And then indirectly, it's God's fault for giving him the woman. So basically, it's a great example of passing the buck up and down the ladder at the same time and avoiding all kinds of responsibility himself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think it's fascinating, and it hits me in a way because I kind of do the same thing. I don't like to admit this, but it's never my fault when I sin.
You too, Gary?
Yeah, right. But
you're
I love
being recorded,
this.
Gary.
I love this. It's not only the woman's fault, as you mentioned, but it's God's fault. But see, you gave me the woman. Oh man, that is incredible. Now you also mention in your book, which I highly recommend, Bible Basics for Catholics, that you are answering questions, John, in this book that I've always wondered about, and you do it in such a simple but powerful way. You mentioned that God clothes Adam and Eve in the skin of the dead lamb, but there's a significance to that. That's actually a foreshadowing about what's going on there when he solves the problem of them being naked by clothing them. Could you maybe explore that for a little bit, explain a little bit about what's going on there?
Yes. It's quite beautiful, especially in the original language, Hebrew, because the word for light and the word for skin sound the same in Hebrew. And there's an ancient Jewish and Christian tradition that Adam and Eve were clothed with light until they sinned and lost that glory, and then God clothed them with the skin, which the word is or in Hebrew. But yes, you know, this clothing and the skin of the lamb, this foreshadows, obviously, you know, we see this in hindsight, being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, which is a beautiful scene that we find in the New Testament that's symbolized at our baptism. When we take on that white garment, and the idea there is that we're exchanging our sinful garments for Christ's righteousness, being clothed in his righteousness, and therefore being acceptable in God's eyes. So already in the Garden of Eden, you know, almost immediately after human sin, we have this little advance notice or a foretaste of the way that God is going to clothe us with the skin of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
He just doesn't give up on us, does he?
No. And that's a constant theme through the Old Testament. And something to take hope in. You know, we go through rough times in this world, but always God finds a way to bring salvation.
And that leads us to now the covenant with Noah. We have about 2.5 minutes left. Could you maybe introduce this whole covenant with Noah? Because I've always found this confusing, the whole idea of the covenant with Noah. And, well, I'll just let you explain a little bit about it.
Yeah, so after Adam, you know, things go from bad to worse.
Yeah.
Until the whole world is filled with immorality and violence. Sounds like modern day.
Yeah, it does. It does.
But God decides to wash the world clean, as it were, to almost, you know, baptize the world. But to save out this one man and his family, Noah and his family, along with the animals. So what we have basically, Gary, is a floating Garden of Eden with this ark, with a new Adam and a new Eve, Noah and his wife, there with the animals, and all life floating there in that floating garden that comes to land on a new mountain, Mount Ararat, kind of a new Eden. And then after the floodwaters recede, we have the repopulation of the world. It's a recreation event. It's like God presses rewind and says, we're going to start this all over from the beginning.
Wow. Again, another example of his mercy. But why Noah?
Why Noah? Noah is picked out because he is a righteous man, the scriptures say, a man who is following after God's heart. His name means rest, and it's said of him that he would be the one who would give us rest from our sinful labors, and in a sense he does.
Wow. Great, great story. And in a sense, we have about 1 minute left, John. In a sense now that the world, through Noah being a righteous man and through this new covenant, the world, would you say, is back in a good relationship with God at this point?
It is. This relationship with God is restored. Man is once more a son of God, daughters of God. Mm. But there's a little bit of disruption, and we see that, Gary, in Genesis 9, where man now experiences fear between himself and the animals and can eat the animals. And so this shows us there's been a disruption in the order of nature, in the cosmos, because of human sin.
Mm. I want to continue to explore this next time with you, Dr. John Bergsma. The book is Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. Next time, we're going to be talking about Abraham, he's one of my favorite biblical characters. John, the best place to follow you online or maybe obtain a copy of the book, where would that be?
Sure. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website. Books available on, you know, your local Catholic bookseller or Amazon.
Awesome.
And get a hold of me there.
Awesome. Dr. John Bergsma, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. When we come back, Dr. Gregory Popchak will be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popchak with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The San Francisco-based 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday refused to reinstate President Donald Trump's executive order banning travelers from 6 mostly Muslim countries. Another federal appeals court, the Virginia-based 4th Circuit, last month also refused to reinstate the travel ban. The administration has appealed that decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court justices could order an unusual June argument to try and resolve the travel ban lawsuits before they leave for the summer, but they could also essentially do nothing, leaving the two appeals court rulings in place. The administration, though, has asked for expedited review. At least 40 people, including dozens of Chaldean Christians, have been arrested in southeastern Michigan by U.S. immigration officials, making them among the first roundups of people from Iraq facing deportation. Although U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials yesterday declined to say just how many were taken, advocates report mass arrests near or at homes throughout Sunday. Immigration officials said that the judge presiding over the case determined that they were, quote, ineligible for any form of relief under U.S. law, but ultimately declined to discuss the appeal process or other legal options. The Detroit area has one of the largest Chaldean Christian communities in the U.S. And Pope Francis is reflecting upon the spiritual gift of consolation, focusing specifically on the spiritual aptitudes most conducive to receiving the gift of consolation from God and sharing that gift with our brothers and sisters. True consolation, the Pope insisted yesterday during his morning Mass, starts with God, but continues when one who's been consoled chooses to console another. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
I'm Gary Zimak, host of Spirit in the Morning, and I have great news for you. Tradition, a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is coming to the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel on Monday, June the 19th. Scheduled to appear, Archbishop Charles Chaput, Jeff Caven, Scott Hahn, Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, Deborah Savage, and Jonathan Reyes. For more information or to register, visit Philly.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I can barely stand right now. Everything's crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Broken Hallelujah by the Afters. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'm really glad that you're deciding to join us this morning on the program. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast for the Delaware Valley. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 73 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 95. Tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 73. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms again, and then we will have a high near 84 degrees. All righty. Dr. Gregory Popchak is a psychotherapist, and he's the executive director of Pastoral Solutions Institute. He is well known as an author, as a speaker, as a radio and television host, and he's just an all-around good guy. He joins us once again to continue his series on his latest book, Be Daditudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Today, we're going to look at the sixth Be Daditude. Blessed are the dads who are pure in heart. They will see God. Greg, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary.
So glad to be able to continue this series. Purity of heart. What exactly are we talking about here?
Well, of course, when we hear this idea of being pure of heart, the first thing we think about is avoiding pornography and lust,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big part of it. But it's also just the tip of the iceberg, really. And I try to go a little bit deeper in the chapter to look at what the roots of purity of heart really look like. And you know, to be pure of heart ultimately means to be committed to not using people. You know, when we're pure of heart, we're able to see ourselves and other people as images of God, fully possessing of the dignity that is theirs as a son or daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
St. John Paul the Great made the point that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's use. That when we love somebody, we build them up. We make them into more of the human person that they were created to be. But when we use somebody, we turn them into a thing, a means to an end. And that is at the root of the idea of lust or of impurity of heart. Because when I can look at another person in any context and say, how can I use this person to get what I want,
mm-hmm.
then I'm being impure because I'm not treating either myself or them as the pure, godly, grace-filled person that they are meant to be.
At the risk of alienating all of our men listeners and making myself feel really bad, I have to ask you a question. Do you think, Dr. Popchak, that men find it easy to use people more so than women?
I do, but I think that it's because we're actually taught that our value is tied up in being used. Growing up, you know, we aren't taught so much to kind of be right, to kind of be and be still and to reflect or to really connect on that personal level with the people around us. We're mm-hmm. rewarded for accomplishing things, for
right.
doing things, for achieving goals, and that, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's important, an important part of a full, meaningful life to be able to have meaningful work and to be able to know that I'm competent and to be comfortable in my body and know that I can use my gifts and talents to get things done. That's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if my worth is entirely tied up in that, and a lot of men are raised that way, where we only get affection from our dads if we've achieved a certain thing or accomplished a certain grade or, you know, won the game or whatever it is, that we start thinking of ourselves as machines that produce, and then we're surprised when other people react offended that we're treating them like machines to be
right,
used.
Right, exactly. Now, Greg, what can we do to try to combat this tendency that we have?
Well, I have two things in the book. The first one is pursuing reflective prayer, and the other one is pursuing purity. Reflective prayer, you know, is more about being with God. You know, a lot of times men's prayer life kind of breaks down into, you know, okay, God, let me, you know, here's what I want to do for you. Bless it. You know,
exactly.
I'm going to
exactly.
do these things for you, Lord. You know,
it's
not bless
work.
It. You know, get out of my way and let me do this great thing for you.
Right.
You know, and that comes from a good place. We mean well, but prayer is supposed to be a conversation, which means that there's a part of that conversation that involves listening, and we stink at that generally.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And so I talk in the book about how to develop a more reflective approach to prayer that allows us to kind of bring ourselves to God, our relationship. relationships to God, our memories and emotions to God, and listen to what he's saying to us through those different dimensions of our experience, not just in prayer in that moment, but throughout the day as well. How is God speaking to us through those things so that we can really respond to him in the moment and be the men he's calling us to be? And then the other part of it, you know, the pursuing purity, that does involve, of course, avoiding those temptations to lust and to use other people in any kind of a sexual way. But it's bigger than that, too. You know, it involves really working hard to see the dignity in other people and build them up to make a connection with a real person instead of seeing the other people around me as things to use however I see fit.
And it's very obvious when I hear the direction to pursue purity to say, all right, all I need to do is avoid porn. That's all, you know, and that's the way a lot of us think. But as you said, it's more than that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why I started the chapter this way, I started this interview this way, because it always kind of breaks down for guys to, well, you know, just don't look at that stuff on the computer.
Yes, exactly.
You know? And yeah, that's right, don't look at that stuff on the computer, but if you think that's all there is to purity, then you're really missing the vast majority of the problem. It's really about being able to connect with other people on that human level. You know, in my book, Broken Gods, I go through the seven deadly sins and talk about the divine longings that are behind those sins that Satan twists. And the deadly sin of lust, I argue, is rooted in the divine longing for communion. We want to connect with other people. We want to feel like we know others and are known by others. But instead of pursuing that, because that's hard, we settle for pornography. We settle for lust because it gives us the feeling of connection without having to do any of the work of it or face any of the frustration of it. And so to pursue purity means to rediscover that divine longing for communion and to do the work that it takes to make a connection with the real people in our lives so that we can know those who share our lives and be known by them.
Now, in your book, you mentioned that it's easy as men to make our wives feel used. And that's something I don't want to do ever because I love my wife. I certainly don't want to do that. But I think as men, we can all slip into that bad habit. What can we do to avoid that?
It comes down to, I think, a couple of things. The first one is cherishing our wife, which means listening to her, which is sometimes hard to do, right? You know, we want to listen for the message and then move on and go do something about it.
Exactly.
Instead of really hearing what she's trying to say to us and paying attention to the emotions there and how we could really respond to her as a person instead of just receiving the message and then getting on with it. Another thing I talk about is the importance of practicing natural family planning, and that's kind of a shocker to a lot of folks, but you know, what natural family planning is really about is learning how to respect the whole person in lovemaking, to really not just see sex as an act, but rather as a way of being intimate together, not just in the bedroom, but all day long, in the sense that I'm really looking out for what's best for my wife overall, what's best for our marriage and family overall, because I'm bringing that part of our relationship to God in prayer. That I'm talking about it with my wife, that I'm making sure that I'm not just interested in her when time for sex, but I'm interested in her all the time, and we're talking about our relationship on a regular basis. And then the last point I make in the book is the importance of resisting pornography, you know, which everybody goes to first, but I address last in the book, and how, you know, that involves more than sticking a filter on your computer. It really involves changing your mindset about women and really seeing them as persons to be loved and cherished instead of things to be used.
Dr. Gregory Popcheck, we have about 1 minute left in our segment. I just want to give you a chance to let our listeners know where they can contact you, where they can get this book. And I highly recommend it. This would be a great Father's Day present, be Dadtitudes. But also, I run into people all the time, Greg, who are looking for counseling services.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that over the phone. Can you talk a little bit
That's
about
right.
that?
Yeah, well, at CatholicCounselors.com, folks can learn more about our telephone pastoral counseling practice, where we offer a Catholic integrated counseling service for couples, families, and individuals. I have seven counselors that work with me all together, and we're all licensed, and we all have additional training in pastoral counseling, so we're able to bring our faith directly into the session. So if folks would like to learn more about that, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com.
And I will have that linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. My friend, thank you again for joining us for this series. Hey, Greg, you know what? The book's great. Unfortunately, I don't have any excuses anymore for not being a good dad. So you're not making it easy for me.
Sorry, Gary.
Oh, man, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to being with you next time.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Dr. Gregory Popchak, wonderful to be with him. Man, I just get so much out of these.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of his words.
Oh, yeah. I love this program. I love the guests we have.
Yeah.
It helps us, all
it helps
us, men
us.
And women.
And Lord knows we need lots of help, Mr. Parker. When we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Love is what we come here for.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 28:16, the 11 apostles went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, he approached them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always until the end of the age." He told them to make disciples through sacrament and word. Notice there is no mention of the Bible here, or anywhere in Scripture for that matter. It was by word of mouth that the church began, and the direct authority he gave it. Eventually, words were written, codified, and compiled into one volume. This he left for his church to do, which it eventually accomplished. Today, he remains with the church and guides it with the same authority he gave it so long ago. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
things of earth are dimming in the light of your glory and grace. I'll set the sights upon heaven. I'm fixing my eyes on you.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Fix My Eyes for King and Country. I'm Gary Zimak. Boy, it has been a busy show today. And I want to also thank Jacob Popchak for doing the new... This is like the Popchak show. We had Popchak. We had Jacob on. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is get Lisa Popchak on, too.
We got
the whole family on. But Jacob is doing a great job filling in for Anna Mitchell, who was out on maternity leave. Yeah, she has been very kind to us to be doing the news for us at Holy Spirit Radio each day on Spirit of the Morning. Jacob is filling in, and we're very grateful to Jacob for doing that. We're also grateful to his dad, Dr. Greg Popchak, for making himself available for us today. And Dr. John Bergsma was here. Jeanette Bankovic.
Wow.
Man, Dave, we have had a busy hour.
Chock full of great guests.
That's right. And now it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today it comes from 2 Chronicles 1:12. Wisdom and knowledge are given you. I will also give you riches, treasures, and glory, such as kings before you never had, nor will those who come after you. Now, this is the Lord's response to King Solomon, who, when asked, "What would you like me to do for you?" by the Lord, responded, he wanted wisdom so that he could govern his people in a just manner. Wow. And I make the point in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, when I talk about this verse, that so many times, Dave, in life, when we have various needs, we go to the Lord and ask for material things. It's really easy to do. But do we ask for the spiritual things that we need? For instance, do we ask for the ability to stop worrying? Do we ask for the ability to trust the Lord more? Do we ask for wisdom? Do we ask for the ability to seek purity of heart, as Greg Popchak was talking about? I recommend that we do that, because oftentimes we get so caught up in the material things. We also, and Greg made this point in the past segment, as men sometimes, we get caught up in this belief that I have to fix this problem by myself. I've got to do
it.
I've got to solve it. And we forget to ask the Lord to help us.
Yeah, I was going to say, Garrett, it's so appropriate to me at times. You know, just recently with some health issues, you know, like, I can't do this by myself, Lord. I have to... Lord, it's all on you. I give it all to you, but lead me, and I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
You know, and financial things as well, you know? I am retired, but, you know, living on, you know, I'm not making a heck of a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. A lot of us aren't, you know, in this evangelization work that we do, especially you, Gary, and all your brothers and sisters on that trail. I mean, it's a tough road, and sometimes we worry about money.
Yeah, you know? We do. And the Lord knows that we have bills to pay. He knows that we need money. But I think sometimes that is our main focus. And again, I totally get it. I have bills to pay, and I struggle to pay my bills. I get that it's important, but it really can't be our main focus. Our main focus has to be getting to heaven.
Precisely,
that's why we are
here.
And we're here, Dave, to help others get to heaven.
Yes.
That's why I like Dr. Popchak's book about how to be a better dad, because I'm responsible for helping my wife, for helping my children.
Yes. And we just have to reorient our priorities and trust the Lord. I mean, start with Him and trusting Him, and he and be amazed, sit back,
yeah.
and give it over to him and see how things do work out. And, right. and it's that faith we have to always trust.
And to be aware that he does expect us to do things, so we can't just sit back and do nothing. And I know you're not implying that, but mm-hmm. often before we do anything, we should pray, Lord, well, what's the best thing? How should I handle this, right? And then he
exactly.
said,
we sit back insofar as like, I can't. I have to give it up to you, Lord. You are in control. I want to give my control issue to you.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's both. We have to. We are given gifts. We have to execute, but just go about and entrust that what we do are. And our abilities and our smarts are from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure this out. We're in the world, and he will help us. But ultimately, we have to trust him.
We do. And as men, I think we have a hard time with that sometimes because we like to fix things. And you, Dave, you got the double whammy. You're a military guy plus a man. So, right, you've got a list of things. I'm going to fix this. Let's draw up the list. Let's do it.
Yeah. And, always checklist.
Right. that's a good thing. Number one on that checklist should be pray, though.
Exactly.
As long as we do
the
that.
Lord.
That right?
Put Lord,
right.
The Lord first on your checklist, folks.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning into the program today. It is just great that you're joining us here on the show. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com. And wherever you go today, remember, you can listen to Holy Spirit Radio simply by going to PhillyCatholicRadio.org. You can go and listen directly.
Oh, I love that new
plus,
sound.
Isn't that great?
Okay.
Plus all the archives of our past programs. Let's close in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with us as we go throughout the day. Help us to always remember your presence and grant us the desire to be a light shining in the darkness to those around us. And we ask these things, Jesus, through the intercession of your blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are about ready to hit the road, Mr. Parker.
Yes, we are, Gare. Hey, can I do a quick safety? Today is the hottest of the day.
Talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, hydrate, folks. Make sure your pets are hydrated. Stay in the cool. Right now, and tomorrow, relief will be here, I'm understanding. Right,
Gare? That's what the weather report says. So, great advice, Dave Parker. Listen, you listening at home, I want you to remember this. Wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. It's very easy to forget that, but don't forget that today. He's with you, and he's waiting for you to turn around and say hi and to ask for the help that you need to follow him and to lead a good, holy life. Don't forget to ask. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
This is Mary Ann from Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in Buckingham, and you are listening to WISP in Doylestown in Philadelphia and WCOJ in Coatesville.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me our EWTN family prayer. Today we pray in thanksgiving for the Mass. Most high and glorious God, we stand in awe of your generous love, for you devised a way to speak to us and to unite us poor creatures with yourself in the Holy Mass. Sanctify us through the Holy Sacrifice. Reveal yourself to us through your Word. Unite us more and more with yourself through Holy Communion. We praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Mass, which has nourished multitudes throughout the ages. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood.
GCN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. Now our Daily Mass, live with Father John Paul.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred meal.